And we're back. This is Teenage Sports with your host, Michael Barra. We're starting to get some plays on these podcasts. You can see this podcast on, or listen to this podcast on Spotify, Apple, and now we have a YouTube channel called Teenage Sports. I got a guest on today. I think you guys all know him.
I'm Boone McDougall again. Happy to be here.
So today we're going to be going over our first round mock drafts for this upcoming draft, and I think a week, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes.
All right, you just want to go ahead and get into it?
Yeah, you can go first, ladies first.
Let me get my notes up. So, number one pick going to the Bengals. I think this is pretty easy consensus in the media and everyone. The Heisman winner, Joe Burrow. You want to say yours?
All right, I also have Joe Burrow going number one, but he's not going to be a Bengal. He's going to be a Miami Dolphin. And I'm going to have
Wow.
I have the Dolphins trading the 5th, the 39th, and Josh Rosen to the Bengals.
Whew. Okay. So we'll get mine over with on why I think he should be a Bengal, and then we'll get to yours because yours is going to be a little bit more winded. So I mean, one of the best college football quarterbacks I think I've ever seen. He was fantastic. Bengals have the number one pick. They're not going to mess this up, I don't think. I would love for him to go to any other team but the Bengals. I think they're probably the worst ran organization in the league behind maybe around the Browns or old Browns. I think they're going to Browns. Boom definitely thinks the Browns are going to get better. Yeah, I mean, I don't got much else to say. He was fantastic, Heisman winner, but Burrow to the Dolphins.
Yeah, I'm gonna tell you that everybody thought that and thinks probably still that Tua is gonna go to the Dolphins, and I think the Dolphins are gonna try every way in the world to get Joe Burrow just because Tua just failed the team's physical. I think that's gonna raise a lot of red flags for GM. So I have Tua falling lower than, well, not necessarily falling, but lower than other quarterbacks just because of that. And I think the Bengals like to mess things up. And I think honestly getting a 5th and a 39th, so high first and a high second, plus Josh Rosen is not that good. He could be a backup because Andy
Is he not
Dalton.
that good, or has he just not had the chance to show himself?
I don't think he's that good, but I mean, he could be, you never know,
That would
but
be his third team in 3 years. What young quarterback could play well in that?
yeah, but I could see that trade happening there because I think Brian Flores is kind of a, and the Dolphins have the most picks in the draft, by the way. They have 12 picks. So
Oh, yeah.
I don't think getting a higher first round and then losing your high second round, and then a quarterback who you have Fitzpatrick to back up or maybe start. I don't know. Probably not start. Burrow would definitely probably be the starter, but I think it could happen.
To put this into perspective on how many picks the Dolphins have, the Rams have 10 picks in the next 2 years. The next two drafts. The Dolphins have 12 just this year. So they have a lot of draft capital.
And a little bit about Joe Burrow. He's definitely the best college football quarterback I've ever seen in my lifetime. But I think he's gonna be like a Aaron Rodgers in college. Or watching him in college, I compared him a lot to Aaron Rodgers because he's not necessarily a fast, like you wouldn't like say the fast mobile quarterback. But Aaron Rodgers knows how to get out of, he knows how to sit in the pocket and then when it collapses, escape, make the throw on the run. Burrow can do that. So I
I
think
agree.
really good.
All right, let's move to our number two, the Redskins. I have them just drafting Chase Young.
Have the edge rusher, Chase Young.
I think Chase Young may be the best player in this draft, better than Burrow, but obviously the Bengals QB need is a lot more than their edge. I mean, actually, they could probably use both, but
They need a lot.
Drafting the quarterback. Yeah, they need a lot.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's probably the best edge rusher out of college since J.J. Watt.
All right.
So, you know.
Think he's going to be better than the Boses?
I don't know. I'm just going straight off of hype around him out of college. I'm saying that's why he's just the best since J.J. Watt. Not necessarily maybe talent-wise. I think he's better than Joey. I think Nick ends up being better, a lot better than Joey.
I also agree.
So I think Chase Young could be better than Joey. I don't know about Nick, though.
All right. I mean, yeah, some of these top picks are kind of easy to predict. I'm interested in what you have at number three. Go ahead. You say yours first. I have a trade here.
The corner out of Ohio State, Jeff Okuda.
Okay. So I have the Dolphins trading up. They are trading their later 26th pick and their second round pick. I don't know if that would be enough, but they're only trading up two. So they're trading their fifth and their 26th and a second. And I think that's fair enough for them to trade up to third, where the Dolphins are going to take Tua Tagovailoa, I think is how you say his last name.
Yeah, like I said earlier, I'm not big on Tua anymore because of the injury thing. I don't think people are going to want him as high. I have Okuda going to Detroit just because I think he's just a lockdown corner. I mean, he was just outstanding in college. I think he won all the corner awards you can in college.
Yeah, he's a very fantastic corner.
Only thing about him, though, if I'm not mistaken, I think he has only had, like, I think he might have been a transfer. I think he's only had, like, one really good year. So, you know, I don't know. So is Joe Burrow, but you never know. Maybe you don't know. Sometimes your defensive scheme makes you look better than you are. We see that with a lot of guys. In every position, especially linebacker, have all these crazy stats and then go to the league and not be much just because their defensive scheme, the way it was, gives certain people better stats. So I don't know. I mean, I think Okuda's going to be good, but there is a bust potential there, in my opinion.
I agree. I think he's more of a conservative corner than some of the later corners that I have picked in this draft. Since I have the Dolphins trading up for this third pick and getting Tua, there was the tank for Tua thing at the beginning of the season. Everyone wanted Tua. They didn't really tank till the end of the, or they didn't tank. They looked like their team was going to tank at the beginning, but at the end, Brian Flores just pulled that team into a 5-11 team, I believe. And It's a decent team once they can start building more pieces around it. They got some defensive pieces, and Tua doesn't have to step right into that starting role. Fitzpatrick can play day one next season, and then Tua can sit behind him. And I'm not as worried about the health thing as I think you are, so that doesn't make me put, like, Justin Herbert or Jordan Love above Tua.
Yeah, all right.
So for number four, we have the Giants. I have Isaiah Simmons.
I also have Isaiah Simmons.
Yeah, I think, I can't remember the GM for the Giants name, but I believe he's kind of working for his job here. He has made some very interesting draft decisions, and I think he needs a unicorn type of player, a really good type of player like Isaiah Simmons to recoup his job.
Yeah, just a little bit about Isaiah Simmons. He's a pass rushing outside linebacker. So his size is really comparative to Khalil Max. I think he's just a little bit lighter, but I think maybe an inch taller. And he's more of a finesse type guy, but he's going to be he has Khalil Max potential, I think.
Really?
He is built just like him. I think he's a little bit quicker, but and a little less strong. So he's more of a finesse type guy, not strength. But I think he does have quarterback potential, actually. He was very good in college. And I think a lot of people – I think, really, he deserves to be a top three pick. It's just he's not going to. I think people are underrating him just a little bit. I mean, can't be too underrated going at four, but still. I think he's a very
good player. Oh, yeah, no. I mean, that's still a top five player, still top five money. So we both think he's very good. I think we probably have him higher than a lot of mock drafts do, but I like him. I mean, he's very good for Clemson. So
yep.
I think he's good enough for that Giants team. All right, number five. Since I have the trade down for the Lions, I have them now taking Jeffrey Okuda.
I have Cincinnati in this spot from Miami, and I have who I think will be a very good quarterback, Justin Herbert.
All right, so we both have different teams here. You have the Lions taking Okuda at three. Now they get him two picks down, less money, and they get more draft capital. So if they were able to play that smart how I think they should, it'd be fantastic.
I don't know if he can drop that low, though. I think if he doesn't go three, the Giants might take him at four.
I don't know if that's their number one need. I'm pretty sure they signed a cornerback, and I know they do not have many linebackers there. So I think that they would look at Isaiah Simmons and go for this big, big play type player instead of a Okuda, who's just going to play on the outside, obviously, in his corner.
Yeah, I have Justin Herbert at five. He's a very, very good deep ball thrower. But what I like most about him is you'll see a lot of quarterbacks who he's amazing throwing the deep ball. Well, a lot of those guys' biggest problems is they throw it too much. They try and force it downfield, like Jameis Winston or guys like that. But Herbert's big plus for me is he throws the ball, deep ball, very accurate, but he also isn't afraid to check it down either. I mean, if it's not there, he doesn't force it too much. He'll hit his running back. He'll hit his drag route. So that's why I like Herbert. I think I don't want to say he could be better. He's better than Burrow, but I think he could. Him and Burrow, I think both of them are going to be good in the NFL. I think they'll both have a starting job for a long time. So I think this is going to be a good quarterback draft class.
And I don't think we saw it being this good of a quarterback draft class a year ago. No. I think this was supposed to be a down year. This was
supposed to be a terrible year, but
and then the next year was going to have Trevor Lawrence and the guy from Ohio State, which I don't think anyone knew the guy from Ohio State, yeah, was going to be as good as he was.
Yeah. So.
And obviously this is one of the best wide receiver drafts I think we've seen in years.
Yeah.
Maybe ever.
All right.
All right, number six, I have the Chargers taking Justin Herbert.
I have the Chargers taking Tua.
All right. So I've obviously valued Tua better. I think he's probably the most accurate quarterback coming out of college.
Oh.
But I know.
Really? More accurate than Burrow? Yeah.
I think he was more accurate than Burrow. And I think Tua, even though I'm not a big fan of him being left-handed, I know that's weird and random. I don't think left-handed quarterbacks succeed as much.
Michael Vick.
I mean, he, that's like one. But I'm not going to bring him up. But, I just have Tua as a higher grade. I think Herbert's really good, and I hope they draft a quarterback and don't try to just rely on Tyrod, because if they try to rely on Tyrod with this high of a pick, I think they're stupid, the Chargers.
Yeah.
And, I mean, you have them drafting Tua, so you obviously think they need a big quarterback too.
Yeah, they need a quarterback. Problem is, I don't know. I mean, I think Tua has the biggest bust potential out of the top 10 for me, just
jeez,
because I don't know, the whole injury thing at the end of the year, and then I mean he was not, I don't, in my opinion, I don't think he was as accurate as Joe Burrow. I don't think he can throw it downfield as good as Justin Herbert. I think he's the third best quarterback in this draft.
All righty. Let's move to our number seven. The Panthers are on the clock. I have them drafting defensive tackle Derrick Brown.
So do I.
So, as Cowboys fans, we saw a lot of Panthers defensive tackles, two of them, come to our team. They're going to be our one and two starters. So, I mean, they went from having pretty good starters over there to having nothing. So, I think they're going to fill this hole with Derrick Brown.
Yeah, he's a really big run stuffer. I don't know how many sacks he's going to get you, but he's going to stuff the run up the middle. So, I agree.
Matt Rhule needs a bunch of young players, I think, just to be able to grow around. I mean, he's got a big old contract over there. So,
yep.
I think the more he can work with is the better. But let's move on to our number eight, the Cardinals. I have them drafting Tristan Wirfs.
So do I.
I mean, I think that one's pretty easy. He's
a really big tackle.
Really big tackle. He needs help. They need to protect Kyler. Kyler now has weapons. So they need to protect him and then work on that D-line. But they're in one of the more tough divisions – or O-line. But they're in one of the more tough divisions. So I don't know if they'll be able to really make a push next year.
Yeah. I think they have a – ability to be a sleeper next year, but yeah, I think they definitely go with a tackle. I just realized I have one, two, three. I have three alignment in a row here, and I think they could all go. Or I have three in a row, and I think they're kind of interchangeable.
Oh, yeah, I know who you're going to be talking about. So, number nine, Jaguars on the clock. I have them drafting the best wide receiver in the draft, Jerry Jeudy.
I have Jedrick Wills Jr.
So, you don't think they're going to go for a bit more of a flashy pick?
No.
I guess O-line is.
And also, I don't even have – I have Jeudy as the third receiver drafted.
Jeez, yeah. We're really changing it up today. So, you got Tua as your third and Jeudy as your third.
Yeah, so I have Jedrick Wills Jr. Very good run blocker, very good pass blocker. He can do it both. And I think he has experience almost everywhere on the line, so they can kind of put him where they want him. And, you know, they have Chark over there. They have a few weapons. Leonard Fournette. I don't think skill position players is what they're going to go for in the first round.
I personally think they're just going to try to give Gardner Minshew anything and everything. Obviously, giving him a better O-line is giving him something, but I think giving him another really good wide receiver alongside Chark is seeing if he is going to be their future quarterback.
All right.
So, for number 10, the apparent Super Bowl winners for next year for Boom, the Browns. I have them drafting Andrew Thomas.
I have Mekhi Becton out of Louisville.
So, in my notes, I have them interchangeable, also could have drafted Becton. I think Andrew Thomas is probably the safest tackle in this draft, and the Browns sure as heck need to protect Baker.
Yeah, the reason why I have Becton above Thomas is because Becton passes the eye test better. He's a lot bigger guy, way bigger. Probably not way bigger, but pretty a good sized difference than Thomas. And he moves a lot better than Thomas. He's a lot quicker than Thomas. So I think he passes the eye test better. Maybe he doesn't have the skill. But I think that's the reason why Cleveland picks him over Thomas. Is speed.
I definitely had those interchangeable, but I think it's just whatever that team decides they want. So, number 11, the Jets on the board. I have them drafting CeeDee Lamb.
I also have CeeDee Lamb, but he's my first receiver taken.
So, I think they need to give Darnold something in there. I honestly don't think Darnold's a good quarterback, but let's at least let him give him something to try. I mean, his best wide receiver, what, has been Jamison Crowder and Robbie Anderson?
Yeah, he definitely needs a receiver. I think CeeDee Lamb's the best player in the draft, or best receiver in the draft, excuse me.
About to say.
Very good route runner, very good hands. You know, I know he was facing Big 12 defenses, blah, 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 but he had a lot of these big – he matched up good against a lot of – some of these big corners that we have going – or at least I have going in the first round. So, I think he proved himself, and I think he is the best receiver in the draft.
So I'm really realizing how many receivers I just had right here. For number 12 on the board, the Raiders are drafting, and I have them drafting the fastest player in the draft, Henry Ruggs, or fastest wide receiver.
Okay, I do not have the Las Vegas Raiders picking in the 12th slot. I have the New England Patriots. I have them trading their first and third to get this pick because I don't know if they truly trust Jared Stidham. So I have, out of Utah State, Jordan Love.
Wow. So you think it's going to really take them to get up that high to get Jordan Love?
I think they're going to do it because we've seen Gruden liking trades for more picks. I think he likes more over higher picks. So I think that's the team they do it with, if that makes sense. So I have Love going. I think he is very underrated. Like you said, they're going to have to go up that high. I think so. I know he went to a school that you don't really he isn't really one of those big names, but I think he proved himself to be good. I don't know if he has franchise quarterback caliber talent. I think him and Stidham, I think Belichick wants competition. Competition is always a good thing in football, especially at the quarterback position. And I don't think that they completely trusted him. I don't know how you could trust somebody that's never really had an experience. So I think they have to draft a quarterback pretty high.
Yeah, I don't think that I don't think the Patriots are even going to have to trade up to get Jordan Love. We'll talk about that later. I think Jordan Love is I don't think he's underrated anymore. I think a lot of people are talking about him. I think he just lacks football IQ. He threw a lot of picks. Now, either if that's just the team that he was on, he wasn't on a good team, like, at all. Or at least his last year, and he threw a good amount of picks. So, I don't know. I have the Raiders because I didn't make a trade. I have them drafting Henry Ruggs. I think – I don't know if he has – he's definitely not – Tyreek Hill or a crazy burner like that, but I think it just gives Gruden another weapon with Derek Carr and Jacobs.
All right, 13.
49ers are on the clock. I have them drafting Mekhi Becton.
I have Henry Ruggs III from the Alabama Crimson Tide going to San Fran.
So, in my mock draft, I had the 49ers taking Mekhi Becton, and I was not a big fan of that. I actually was about to have them trade down. I think that they should have been able to draft Henry Ruggs, but I had Henry Ruggs going one pick earlier. So, what makes you think the 49ers would do good with Henry Ruggs?
I just think they need Henry Ruggs because they lost – they have a lot of speedy – their whole offense besides Jimmy G is speed. I mean, the running backs, their receivers, they have a receiver hole they need to fill. And I think Ruggs, Obviously, you can compare him to Tyreek Hill. Honestly, though, I think he has better hands coming out of college than Tyreek did. So, you know, I think he has big play capability, and I think that's something that the 49ers didn't really have last year. So I think they need that guy.
They're losing Emmanuel Sanders, so, I mean, there's obviously a wide receiver need and a team that's pretty deep everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
So me drafting Mekhi Becton just gives them another O-lineman, makes them have more competition on that O-line. But like I said, I also could have them trading down maybe in another mock. All right, let's move to number 14. The Buccaneers are on the clock, and I have them drafting Jedrick Willis.
I have Andrew Thomas.
So we both have O tackles, I believe.
Yep.
I think I already have Andrew Thomas off the board. I think Willis is going to fall a little bit more than Becton and Thomas. I don't know if he's as well known as those other two. But I think Brady needs help on that O-line to be able to succeed.
Yeah, I think they're definitely going to go lineman. I don't necessarily know who it's going to be. It's really hard to pick O-lineman in mock drafts because it's kind of just preference. You don't know what the teams see. So I don't know if it's going to be Thomas, but I definitely know – I'm pretty sure they're going to go O-line unless they just get a gift and somebody falls.
Yeah, and without some of these players being able to do certain pre-draft workouts because of the coronavirus and other certain things, it's going to be difficult for a lot of these teams to be able to grade these players.
Yeah.
Especially O-linemen, whose tape probably isn't as able to be able to be analyzed as like a wide receiver or a quarterback. All right, so number 15, I have a trade here, so let's get to yours first.
All right, I have Jerry Jeudy going to Denver.
Okay. I have the Eagles trading up from their 21st overall pick, I believe, to not draft a wide receiver. I have them drafting C.J. Henderson, a cornerback. I think that their cornerback need is maybe a little bit less than wide receiver, but I personally think I'm not a Carson Wentz fan. I'm not, but I can't see them having another season where every single wide receiver is hurt. Carson Wentz can use just about any wide receiver. They just need to not be hurt.
I don't know. I don't see them not taking a receiver, but I do think that Jerry Jeudy goes there to Denver. Locke needs a weapon. Cortland Sutton, I don't know if it's enough. Yeah, I mean, that's really the only receiver they have. So, they need to address the O-line. So they could also take an O-lineman, but I think all the top tier O-linemen are going to be taken by 15 unless they want to trade up for O-line. But I think they get Jeudy. I think Ruggs goes to San Francisco. They want big play. I think CeeDee Lamb is the best receiver. I think the Jets will think the same I am. And I think Jeudy drops to 15.
All right. And with that Broncos pick, the Broncos move down to 21st. They get the second-round pick with that. So for number 16, Falcons on the clock, I have them drafting Javon Kinlaw.
I have C.J. Henderson.
All right, so you just have I had Henderson at 15. You have him at 16. Kinlaw, I think the Falcons obviously need defense. Their offense, I think, is going to be very good, but they need to surefire that defensive line and put something with Grady Jarrett and Dante Fowler which I think with those three, if Javon Kinlaw is as good as I think he can be, that D-line can be very good.
Yeah. I think I have Kinlaw dropping a little bit farther. I have C.J. Henderson because the Falcons GM came out and said that they need a second corner. So I don't know if they'll do that in the second round or not, but if he's coming out and saying that, I can see C.J. Henderson going here. I don't see any other team taking him unless a trade happens or something like you said. But, yeah, I have him dropping. Not necessarily dropping. I have him going at 16 to the Falcons.
I personally cannot even name their number one corner right now because they got rid of Desmond Trufant. So I don't even know who their number one is.
Let's see here.
But, I mean, it does make a good point adding another corner to that. You're obviously going to need to. I just don't know what their quarterback depth yeah, is looking like right now.
I don't know. He said they need a second one. Let's see here. Isaiah Oliver, Kendall Sheffield, and Billy Ray Wilson.
Okay, yeah, so that's not great.
Yeah, bunch of no-name guys there in Atlanta. Maybe a number one corner, you never know.
Yeah, CJ Henderson, maybe your number one.
Maybe they trade up with Detroit and get Okuda. You never know.
Very true. So, number 17, our Dallas Cowboys. I have them drafting a corner in Christian Fulton.
I have them drafting a corner who I absolutely love.
I think I know where this is going.
One of my I'm most excited about this pick. Jeff Gladney out of Texas Christian University.
So TCU is my school. It's all over my room, but I do not have a TCU player this high. I actually have Gladney in a few picks. I think Gladney's very good, but Christian Fulton was on that LSU team, and I think we can both agree that our cornerbacks are not going to do for this upcoming season.
We need a corner. I hope we get a corner. A lot of people think we're going to pick the guy who I have at 18. But I think we really need a corner bad. And Gladney, you have to remember, he's playing Big 12 receivers. He had to face CeeDee Lamb. He had to face Tylan Wallace. He had to face all these big-time guys. And he locked them down. He's proven himself. You can't just say every Big 12 defensive player is bad because he proved himself. And, I think the Cowboys might see that in him. I think Jerry Jones loves drafting local guys. So I could see Gladney going to Dallas.
That would be a dream scenario for me. I honestly would love to see that. I don't think I've really gotten to see a TCU player on the Cowboys that I can remember. Obviously Andy Dalton and the Bengals, obviously an Andy Dalton fan, but and Trey Waynes, cornerback for the Vikings. But it would be really cool to see a TCU player on our Cowboys.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure the last TCU player that played for the Cowboys, or big TCU player that played for the Cowboys, was Bob Lilly. So,
oh, well, that's a while ago.
I mean, there could be a little, you know, we could have drafted some in between, but no big guys, I don't think. Big name guys, so.
Yeah. All right, so number 18, the Dolphins are picking. I think we both have the same one here probably. Clavion Chaisson.
Yep. I have the same pick. I really don't want the Cowboys to pick him, and I'm nothing against him. I just think the Cowboys need a corner. So this is Miami's pick. Got it from Pittsburgh in the Minkah Fitzpatrick deal. And I think that he is a really good edge rusher. I don't know if he immediately comes in and makes a big impact, but I think over a couple years he's going to develop into a pretty good pass rusher. But I don't personally think he has like Pro Bowl and big career ability. I think he's going to be more like your guy that, you know, more like a Tyron Crawford kind of guy. Just a D lineman who always has a starting job but never gets much love. You know what I'm saying?
Does all the dirty work, kind of yeah. Like Crawford. Just does what he needs to do. May not be a home run hitter. I think that's kind of what Jadeveon Clowney is. And I think that's why this isn't on a team right now, personally.
Yeah.
I don't think Chaisson's going to put up the big sack numbers, but I think he'll be a really good piece for any team that takes him.
Yeah.
All right. So number 19, the Raiders on the clock. I have them drafting Trayvon Diggs.
I have Christian Fulton, cornerback LSU.
So we both have cornerbacks. Obviously, Christian Fulton was already off the board for me. I think Trayvon Diggs is one of the random players that John likes to just draft. He's done that. He did that with Cleveland Furl last year. Just I think he likes to go with random players that he thinks are going to be safe, and I think Trayvon Diggs is his little safe player.
Yeah, I have Diggs going a lot lower. But I have Fulton going behind Gladney. You had him up at 16 or 17, right?
So yeah, 17 for the Cowboys.
The reason I have Fulton so low is he has a lot of potential to be a bust because of he gave up a lot of big plays last year. And again, you don't know if that's just a scheme. You don't know if they're just putting him out there on an island one-on-one against a top SEC receiver or if he just has a lot of ability to give up big plays. I think that tape is what's going to put him at 19 and not above Henderson or Gladney.
One of the biggest weaknesses that I've I did some research on Fulton because when I was picking him to the Cowboys, I wanted to know a good amount of him about him. His biggest weakness was being too aggressive, and that's where the big play thing comes from. But I personally think that works out perfectly for the Cowboys. They need someone who will be aggressive and go get a pick because the Cowboys have never been able to turn the ball around in the last 5-6 years. So I like Fulton on a team that needs turnovers. I wouldn't rely on him being a number one cornerback, and I don't think the Cowboys have to do that with Cheeto and Anthony Brown, who I think will be your number one corner. But I think he just gets burnt sometimes because he's trying to be over-aggressive.
Yeah, I just have that tape putting him down at 19.
All right. So, number 20, Jaguars on the clock. I have them drafting Jeff Gladney.
I have them taking Javon Kinlaw.
All right. I think the cornerback position is a little bit higher of a need for them after getting rid of Ramsey and Boye.
Yeah, I'd agree. But I think the only reason why they take him is because Kinlaw is still available at 20. I think Kinlaw is going to be a very good player. And if he drops this low, I don't see them passing up on him.
That's fair.
Helping out Calais.
Calais is on the Ravens.
Oh yeah, he is.
They really do not have anyone on that D line. So I can.
D line. They really do need a D line. I didn't even think about that. So yeah, they really do need a D lineman. But I think the main reason I had him going to the Jaguars is just because he's so low. So, I mean, I think they definitely
just take like best available type pick, but I mean, that could definitely fit them.
Yep.
All right. I have at pick 21, I believe I have the Broncos picking from the trade earlier. I have them taking Justin Jefferson.
I also have Justin Jefferson, but it's to the Eagles.
So, yeah, I think Justin Jefferson can fit for either of these teams. Who did you have the Broncos picking earlier? Was it C.D. Lamb?
No, I had the Broncos taking Jerry Jeudy.
Oh, Jerry Jeudy. Okay. So we both have them needing wide receivers. Drew Lock needs something to throw to. even though that O-line is probably still a question mark, I think just give Drew Lock some weapons and see what he can do with them. Give him another season. Full season.
Yeah, like I said before, I think Drew Lock's going to be very good. I agree with you. I think they need a receiver, but I don't see the trade happening because I think the Eagles don't want to give up any more picks. And I think since this receiver class is so stacked, I still have a really good receiver going at 22. So, since the receiver class is so stacked, I don't see the need to trade up for a receiver. So I have the Eagles picking Jefferson at 21.
Well, I mean, I don't have the Eagles trading up for a receiver. I have them trading up for a corner.
Okay. Well, then, yeah, that makes more sense.
And but, the GM, Howie Roseman, has came out and said that wide receiver is a need, but he has also kind of shifted his focus to the thing that wide receivers are a commodity this draft. So it makes me feel like he may go wide receiver later. And if he does, then he goes up and gets a corner to me.
But, yeah, I don't know, man. I don't know why he'd pass up because, honestly, after Jefferson and then two next receivers that I have, I don't – after that, they're kind of – that top receiver talent is kind of gone. So, I don't know. They need receivers. They really do need receivers. So, I think they get Jefferson. And I don't even know. Maybe he – takes a corner, but I think it'd be smarter to take one of these really good receivers.
All right. So picking number 22, I got the Vikings, and I have them taking Jalen Johnson.
Wow. I did not expect that last name. I have Jalen Reagor, TCU.
So I think cornerback for them is a bigger need. Even though I do think that with them trading away Stephon Diggs, their offense may be a little bit different this upcoming year, but they're still going to be able to run the ball. And I don't think wide receiver is that big of a need.
Yeah, I just think if Jalen Reagor's up there, you know, Reagor's very good player, set a lot of records, a lot of school records at TCU. And I think he will replace Diggs perfectly as far as play style goes. So I think they take him
all right
at 22.
I have them. They're obviously taking that corner. He's out of Utah. I think this is potentially a trade down scenario, another one, but because I think that Vikings team is probably a top five roster in the NFL. And they may just try to go with more draft capital and just try to plug more holes. But I don't know. But drafted number 23, the Patriots. I have them drafting Jordan Love.
See, I had the Patriots drafting Jordan Love a lot higher. I have the Raiders picking. And I have them taking safety out of LSU, Grant Delpit, who I think is one of the best players in this draft.
Yeah, it's been kind of weird. The safeties have just – they went from being, can the Cowboys get one at 17 or will they be gone at like 10 or 9 to they may not – they may even fall out of the first round. It may be close for him and Xavier McKinney.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't have McKinney in – my first round, but I have Delpit just because I don't see why not.
Nothing.
What's wrong with him? I mean, he's really was great last year, and I don't know why a lot of people think he's going to drop so low, but I think that Gruden goes defense. I don't know. I think Gruden kind of thinks – I think if Delpit's there, Gruden – would be like, well, why aren't we taking him? I mean, we've seen Gruden take a lot of crazy guys, but he'd probably be like, wow, well, this guy's way too talented for people to overlook. So I think he takes him. Hopefully I'm right about that trade happening.
Oh, yeah.
You know, trades are hard
That's
to pick.
That's just out of random.
You know, but I have Delpit going 23. trade from New England to
Vegas. I mean, I have them drafting Jordan Love. I don't think they're going to have to trade up for him personally. I think, even though I think teams will try their hardest to, like the Colts, I have the only potential team I could see trading up before them coming into the first round the Colts would have to do to trade in front to get Jordan Love. But I don't see any of those teams above the Patriots 22 picks above them trying to draft Jordan Love. All right, 24, the Saints are on the clock. I have them drafting Patrick Queen. He's out of LSU.
Patrick Queen.
Yeah, he's, I mean, yep. he's another player on that team. There's so many LSU players in this. It's kind of ridiculous.
He's got a lot of speed. He's got that sideline-to-sideline speed that you want out of your middle linebacker. I think he has good potential to be a good inside linebacker. And they need a linebacker. I think Kiko Alonso, his deal is
pretty running old. Out.
I think he's got a year left. DeMario Davis proved himself to be pretty good, but, I mean, I think they take him at 24. I think that's one of the picks that I'm kind of like sure about because I don't see any other team picking him, but I think the Saints definitely do. So if there isn't any other pick that I'm, you know, like for certain about, that's probably my most sure one at 24.
I think, he's very underrated. I think he's probably my most underrated player in this first round mock. I think he's got very good potential. I just don't think he's going to get drafted high because I don't know how many linebacker needy teams are going to want to draft him in his limited time over some of the players they already have mocked.
Yep, I think they're going to – I think he'll stay in Louisiana.
All right. 25, I have the Vikings picking Denzel Mims.
I'm probably going to say this wrong.
Yeah, that's Yedder correct. Yedder
Gross-Matos.
So I think I just said something about them not drafting a wide receiver and then them literally drafting a wide receiver a few picks later. But, you know, I mean, Mims is he's a little bit different player than a Diggs. I can't confirm this. Did Diggs run more in the slot or outside?
Both. That's, him and Thielen are that's both what I kind thought. Of the guys that do both. Both, yeah. Definitely both. That kind of sounds weird.
That offense did a lot of very creative things. I think we can both agree on that. With their running game to how they use their wide receivers. Yeah. I mean, that was a very good offense last year. But Denzel Mims, he can stretch the field. Great jump ball receiver. And I think that's really something good to be able to match up with Adam Thielen, who can run your slants and your slot.
Yep. I have got a Penn State, Yedder Gross-Matos. I don't know if I'm saying that right, but he's a big power rusher. Great edge guy. I had I was talking speed earlier. This is one of your power guys in this draft that is going to kind of use his strength to get to the quarterback. He's going to push the tackle into the quarterback. He's still got a little bit of speed, but I think he's going to be good. I think Minnesota has got a lot of good players on that defense. I think they add to it.
Yeah, I mean, they lost Everson Griffin, I believe, or was it Daniil Hunter? They lost one of those two on that D-line. It was the older of those two, and I believe it was Everson Griffin. So they have a need at on the defensive line, and Yedder Gross-Matos is definitely not a bad pick there. So for number 26, from the Dolphins trade up, this is originally where the Dolphins would be picking. Now it's the Lions pick. I have them drafting Josh Jones out of Houston.
I also have Josh Jones.
Wow, he's going to the very Dolphins. Interesting. We had the same thing. Josh Jones, he's very raw, I think. He's big. And he's a very good pass blocker. I don't know if he's as good of a run blocker.
Yeah, he's not. He's not. That was his downside, but he's a
very big. What team likes to pass the ball more than like anyone? It'd be the Lions. And I think that works out perfect for them. And throw one of the most underrated wide receivers in Kenny Golladay and Marvin Lewis. And now you got a pass blocker to help Matthew Stafford out in the backfield.
Yeah. I think he goes to Miami just because they need a pass protector to protect their franchise quarterback that they draft up high. So I think they definitely need another O-lineman. They got Tunsil. But I think they need more.
Tunsil is in the Texans. Josh Jones. They don't have anyone on that O-line.
I meant they got rid of Tunsil. That's what I meant to say. But they need more. So they need more linemen. They really don't have.
I don't think they have a single known or named player on that, like, that people would know.
I think Josh Jones also play guard or tackle.
I also believe that.
So I think they use him at tackle just because of his size, and he's a great pass blocker. But you could throw him anywhere. And they really do need an O-lineman. Like I said earlier, I meant to say Tunsil is gone now, so they don't have anybody. I think Josh Jones goes to Miami. All right.
So, number 27, got the Seahawks picking Yetur Gross-Matos.
I have the Seahawks also taking a defensive guy, but Kenneth Murray.
So, I have them going edge, which is what Yetur Gross-Matos is. I don't think anyone can ever predict what the Seahawks do. I was watching a lot of things on the draft, and apparently they just pick random players. So, kind of like what the Raiders did last year. I think their best odds are going Yetur Gross-Matos. They don't have much of a pass rush. They lost Clowney. I believe they lost someone else on that D-line. But I'm interested to see hear about Kenneth Murray.
I think Kenneth Murray is one of your, like I said earlier, one of your few really good Big 12 defensive players in this draft. He's a good linebacker. He's going to make a lot of tackles. And I think him and Bobby Wagner on the same defense would be pretty dangerous.
All right. So 28, the Ravens are picking. And I got them drafting Kenneth Murray.
I have them taking a linebacker as well, but it's Zach Bond.
I don't even have Zach Bond. I don't even know who that is, to be honest with you. Go ahead.
He's a very good inside linebacker. Did a lot of good things for Wisconsin. I mean, yeah, we're at pick 28, so he could fall. But I think they don't have any inside backers, really. That's the one place on that defense that they don't have. They have Judon. They have ET3 safety. They
Calais
have great corners.
On the D-line.
Great defense, Calais. Great defense. If they get a middle linebacker, dangerous. I mean, they already are. But if they get a middle linebacker, man.
Yeah, it'll be very good. I have them drafting Kenneth Murray, a linebacker. Like you said, one of the very few Big 12 really good defensive players. They really need linebacker. It's probably their really only glaring hole. There's not many on that team. So maybe wide receiver, but I don't think they're going to draft wide receiver here. But 29, we got the Titans, and I got them picking Ezra Cleveland.
I have Jalen Johnson, corner out of Utah.
All right. Titans lost Jack Conklin on their O-line, and I think for Tannehill and Henry to both be very good. They need a really good O-line, like a top seven O-line. I think that's a team that Tannehill really can't make that much better if he doesn't have a very good O-line. And I don't think their wide receivers are anything fantastic. So I think that O-line needs to be insane.
Yeah, I think they go corner here. Did you have Jalen Johnson?
Yes, I had him going to the Vikings at 22.
Yeah, I think Johnson's going to be good. I think he's what you need in the NFL. He's very physical. You know, that kind of sucks sometimes because of pass interference calls being outrageous now. I mean, hard to play defense now, honestly. And that's coming from a wide receiver. So, I mean, yeah, it's really tough to play defense because it's never offensive pass
interference.
It's always defense pass interference if there's any contact. So, but what I'm saying is at the line, he's going to jam you hard. He's very physical. And he's not going to be afraid to match up against a big guy like a Mike Evans or a Julio Jones, one of those big-time big receivers, because he's a very physical guy, and that's going to play to his strength more than his weakness.
All right, so number 30, I have the Packers taking the second TCU player in this first round, and I think a few more to come in the second round, Jalen Reagor.
I also having them take a wide receiver. I also have them taking a wide receiver from the Big 12. But I have Denzel Mims because I already had Jalen Reagor.
I think I'm not a big fan of Mims to Green Bay, even though that's probably their last best. I mean, maybe Laviskus Chenault, but he's very injury prone. I don't think the Packers need any more size, personally. They have a lot of size there. I think they just need a burner, and Reagor can be a burner.
Yeah. But I think Reagor's off the board.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, you can't really do anything about that.
I think if he's off the board and they need a receiver, I don't see them not taking Mims because he's a big guy.
Yeah, they'll just go a lot bigger, opposite of what the 49ers have done. Just gone all speed. Or the Chiefs. Which, I mean, that was your Super Bowl. So maybe the league needs to shift more to speed completely. All right. Picking 31st, I got the 49ers taking cornerback A.J. Terrell.
I also have a cornerback. I think you had this guy a lot higher than me.
I had him at 19.
Yeah, I have him falling. I just don't think he's as good as Johnson. I don't think he's as good as Gladney. I don't think he's good as Fulton. I don't think he's good as Henderson. I just see him falling down to 31 into San Francisco's lap. They need a corner because Richard Sherman only has a year left.
Yeah, he's definitely starting to hit his decline.
So, he's definitely getting a lot slower. And, he's – his mouth hasn't stopped, but his
speed has. Very true.
So, Richard, if you're watching, chill out.
Man. Yeah, Richard's watching. He's catching the latest Teenage Sports episode at his million-dollar mansion.
If Richard's watching in quarantine, man, we've done something good for ourselves. But, I see Diggs going, dropping down. Maybe a younger guy there in the cornerback room would help Richard stop talking so much crap. I don't know, but maybe he will knock some sense into Richard. But,
All right, number 32, the Super Bowl winning Chiefs. It's kind of hard to pick for the Chiefs when they had 20 of their 22 starters come back, but I have them drafting center Cesar Ruiz.
I have the most exciting pick in my draft for me. This is the one I'm most excited about. My second was Gladney, but this is the one that would really put this team over the top, in my opinion.
the best athlete in this draft, Jonathan Taylor, Wisconsin Badger. Do you know, I mean, what was the only thing that offense did?
Probably a running back.
Jonathan Taylor's your guy.
I'm surprised to hear you say that after our podcast, a few podcasts ago, and you like Chuba Hubbard a lot more than Jonathan Taylor. Obviously, Chuba isn't in this draft, but...
Well, but Chuba's not in draft. But, yeah, Jonathan Taylor is, he's, I think, honestly, I hate to just... I've been comparing a lot of these guys to a lot of NFL guys. I think he's going to be a lot like Saquon. And I don't understand why he doesn't have – I know he shouldn't have as much, but I think he should have a lot more hype. Saquon had so much hype in the draft. Taylor, I mean, you have him in your second round. A lot of people have him in your second
round. I mean, have him running back one. I have Swift one. Yeah.
Really? I don't understand what people don't see in him. But because he literally put a team on his back.
Very fair. I just don't see I think after seeing Todd Gurley fall off, I think this has finally hit the deadline where teams are going to start waiting on their halfbacks unless it's just that good of a halfback like we've seen Saquon be. But.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if it's. I mean, I still think if you see a great running back, you got to take him. I mean, Zeke went high. Saquon went high. I mean, this is the first draft that everybody's, like, not predicting running backs to go high. And yeah, it's a really weak running back class. I think Taylor's way better than Swift, in my opinion. But, yeah, I think I don't know if they'll do it. But, I mean, imagine – If Taylor's as good as I think he's gonna be, he goes to Kansas City.
Is he a good pass catching?
Is literally
back because they're gonna need that in that offense. I cannot see Andy Reid just straight up having him run the ball very much during a game. He is a pass heavy head coach, and if they're gonna pass, I would definitely need my halfback to be able to catch the ball.
Yeah, but he also can block. He also can pick up some blitzes. But I think, I mean, you still got to have a little bit of diversity. So, I mean, why not have somebody that the defense, if he's as good as I think he's going to be, at least, I mean, imagine if you had to start game planning for a run game now. But with Tyreek Hill and Mecole Hardman and Patrick Mahomes on that same field, I mean, you can't. There's no way. So, if Taylor pans out, that would be really good for the Chiefs.
All right. Yeah, I mean, I have them going to center. Definitely not a sexy pick. But, I mean, just continue to have competition on that team, that O-line. I think their center is got 1 year left on his contract. Just try to add up on that. Get young, inexpensive players. But that was our draft. How do you feel good about it?
Yeah, you got any questions?
No,
for me?
I do have I do have a question. I may have two. So, looking at your mock and looking at the players left in the draft that have not been drafted yet, what team do you think is going to come out as the best team who do you think is going to have the best draft?
I think it's hard to say anybody besides the Dolphins. They have so much draft picks, and me having them getting Joe Burrow, and who else did I have them taking? Dolphins.
They
are.
I mean, they have 5.
26.
20.
Yeah, 26. I had them taking a lineman and a franchise quarterback, and just in the first round, and then you add all their other picks. Yeah,
they also have 18.
Pick.
Clavion Chase on we both had there.
Yep. Yeah, so I mean, yeah, I think it's hard.
Mine's
to say
probably the Bengals. They're getting the best quarterback in the league, and then they should have the number one pick in the second round where I think they should go Jonathan Taylor. Get rid of Joe Mixon, if he's even still there. Give a starting two rookies. Give a starting quarterback rookie and a running back. And then maybe trade up and try to get another O-lineman and just really do something with that offense.
Yeah. Yeah, I could definitely see that happening. So, you never know. Good. Also, another thing, you didn't say this. Who is the center?
Cesar Ruiz.
Put at 32? I have Creed Humphrey.
Out of Texas?
OU.
Oh, okay.
From OU. He's a really good center, and I don't know. I mean, he was just a beast. I think he won a lot of awards in college, and so I think he's going to be your if there is a center taken, he would be the first one, in my opinion.
Right, yeah, I have one more question for you. So this is another head coaching question. We had one last week with Sorsby, or last episode with Sorsby, episode before that. Can you give me two college head coaches right now that you could potentially see be head coaches at NFL the year after this upcoming one? Because obviously there's not any firings.
Let me think. See, this is a long – both. I mean, anytime you predict this, it's going to be a long shot. I mean, I don't think you – this is a safe way to answer this. I think Lincoln Riley.
I don't think – yeah, I'll let you finish.
I'm not high on Lincoln Riley, but I think too many people are, and that's why he could get a hire. But I don't think he leaves OU. I don't know. You'd have to be stupid to leave that program. But I think that's somebody who's definitely would get a lot of job offers if there's any available. You know, everybody's going to want to get your Nick Saban and Dabo Swinney and those kind of guys, but I don't think that happens. I think Ryan Day.
Really? That soon?
Ohio State. I mean, Matt Rule went soon.
He was there for like 2 or 3 years.
He had one good season. Whoa. Kingsbury, he gets fired from Tech, can't even do anything at Tech, and gets hired at – he was already on the beach at USC, going to be the offense coordinator, and he gets hired to an NFL team. That was the dumbest thing, in my opinion. I don't know how you go from getting fired to from a not very good team.
I personally think he's a good head coach. Now, if we're talking about random weird head coaches, I think Zach Taylor is the Bengals head coach. He was the Rams quarterback coach and just randomly got hired. I think the Bengals could have did a lot more.
Or what's his name?
Joe Judge or whatever.
Giant.
Patriots special teamer. Yeah. Really? That's the best we got?
I mean, that's what Belichick was a special teams coach before he got hired. You never know. Hey, there's three phases to the games. Special teams.
I agree.
You have a good long snapper, holder, and kicker and punter.
That's coming from a part-time long snapper over there.
yeah, but nay, no bias. You need those positions. But I don't know. Ryan Day and Lincoln Riley. I mean, you never know. These days, some of these coach hirings, you have to be in the front office to know what's going through their head. I mean, I think a lot of teams that get really desperate, when you fire a coach, you're normally in a very bad spot. I'd say the Cowboys were probably in a good spot as far as talent and firing a head coach. Normally when you're firing a head coach, you don't have that much talent.
Yeah.
You know? But a lot of the other teams, you know, when you fire a head coach, you're normally a terrible team. So when you're that desperate, so I think a lot of times the front office is just like, let's try and get a Cinderella story. Let's try and get a guy that nobody expected to be good, and let's try and get us another Bill Belichick.
I think that's what Gruden tries to do in the draft. I think he tries to draft these crazy picks. And
I think he only hit on one of them, and that was Josh Jacobs, and that was probably the most proven pick that he had. Like, I want to look back at his draft. Yeah. He had a ton of picks last year, didn't he? Because of what? Yeah, Khalil Mack trade and a bunch of other trades. And he turned it into Cleveland Farrell. I don't even know some of their other picks. Hunter Renfro. I think that's a really good pick. So he had good picks. He definitely had good picks, but I think it could have been better not drafting Cleveland Farrell or whatever. But
yeah. But yeah, like I said, a lot of coaching hirings are so crazy. It's hard to predict that. But I think as far as Ryan Day, I think, is a very good head coach. I've said that in the college football one. I think he's better than Urban Meyer. I'll say it again. But, I think he would be good. And then I have Riley, who I'm not sold on yet, who I just think a lot of people are like you and just love him. And I don't know why yet. I think you give him two more years and then you can love him. But, I think he would get a lot of job offers. I don't think he'd accept them.
And one last thing, because me and you didn't get to talk about this. XFL has officially filed for bankruptcy. This hurts me and Boom a lot. We're big XFL fans, and looking at the financial numbers, it's over. I mean, they're filed for bankruptcy. It probably won't even won't even try to make an attempt. If they try to make another attempt, for probably 20, 30 years.
I hate to say this. A lot of people probably are going to disagree with me. I just think they picked the wrong year. I mean, when we have a pandemic,
I don't think anyone's going to agree with that. There wasn't anything on the field that ended that season. I mean, it was all the pandemic.
Yeah, I mean, I know a lot of people, the ratings go down every week, but also the attendance went up. The stinking Battlehawks had, 30,000 people at their games. Like, more than MLB and NHL and NBA games get. I mean, that's pretty good. If you're getting better than those organizations, I mean, some of the other teams that weren't as good didn't get that attendance, but still, the attendance grew, but I don't know. I think if they could have finished the season, they would have been. Because there's a lot of XFL haters, but there was also a lot of guys like me and you who just wanted football. And I think there was enough people to keep it alive. But the thing is now it's like, okay, we can't. What happens if it wasn't the pandemic? What happens if people just really did, people just don't support it? Now, I think there's going to be a fear to try and bring it back. I don't see it coming back, at least for
a long time. Looking good. And some of the financials came out, which I thought were pretty interesting. I don't have them pulled up, but I'm trying to remember. Bob Stoops, Renegades head coach, he was owed $1 million and is still owed $1 million. It's crazy to put that into perspective of how much they weren't able to pay people, how much some of those head coaches were making for this league. And all the other head coaches were owed. He was the highest paid, but I'm pretty sure one head coach had like 700K. There was a ton. Stadiums were owed. Merchandising companies were owed money. I mean, it was when you unfold the covers, it looked bad, and it's sad to see that the AAF lasted longer than the XFL.
All right, I have a question for you now. Just one last thing. What's gonna happen to the ballpark?
I thought about this but didn't think about this. I think it'll just turn into like a high school multi-purpose stadium.
I can't.
No, I cannot see them tearing it down. They've already put so much money into converting and stuff. I think it'll just be another high school. I mean, Texas high school football is huge. So I think it's enough for them to hold concerts, hold high school venues, and be able to make enough money off of that stadium for them to constitute keeping it.
I mean, yeah, I could definitely see a lot of high school football games being played there. I mean, heck, just in our district, we play at the Star at Toyota Stadium where the FC Dallas plays. We play at AT&T if you make the playoffs. I mean, there's a lot of big stadiums at high Texas. I mean, if you're from out of the state, you don't realize how – I mean, a lot of teams, their home field is indoors, I mean, around us. So, I mean, it's kind of crazy to think about from other states, but yeah. I think that would definitely work.
Yeah, and I definitely don't think that they were expecting their only revenue was going to be from the XFL, because that's shaky for the owners. Because do the Rangers still officially own that stadium, or is it like Arlington that owns it now?
I doubt
the Rangers are still owning that necessarily. I think it's Arlington, but I feel like Arlington can get concerts there, even though they have two bigger, better stadiums in that just in that small area.
Yeah, that's what I was about to say. You're competing with Jerry Jones.
Has Cowboys Stadium, and then the new Ranger Stadium is fantastic. Also, that's just going to be a fun place to travel to. Arlington is amazing.
Well, yeah, and another deal is what's going to happen if the high school thing? If you're going to put a high school game in Arlington, you can walk to Jerry World. So why not just put it in Jerry World? I mean, there's a lot of high school games that go on at AT&T. So, I mean, I don't know. It's going to be interesting. But like you said, Arlington, it's crazy because we're the Dallas Cowboys and the Texas Rangers. Everybody says, oh, Dallas. But the city of Arlington's actually where it's at. I mean, you've got the Mavs and Stars in Dallas. But Arlington's going to be fun, especially with Texas Live and all that, new stadiums and I just hope.
It would be so cool if the Mavs and Stars moved to Arlington. You know how cool of a city that would be during sports season.
Yeah, I think I don't know. I mean, I think we have to have.
Oh, I mean, AT&T has its
something in Dallas, though,
charm
still.
And everything. I just thought it would be cool to get them a new stadium and have it in Arlington.
I mean, yeah, the American Airlines Center is not.
No, I mean, I don't think it's 25 years old yet or anything. I think it's, and I've been there a few times. I went there for their games and rally and.
Oh, I love it. Great place for hockey. Not very good for basketball. The upper seats are not the best for basketball, but hockey, there's not a bad seat in the place. I mean, everywhere you sit for a hockey game, you can see. It's perfect for hockey. Basketball, not so much, but yeah.
All right.
For the Stars, it's great.
You stadium. Got any final words?
No, it was fun.
Yeah.
Mock drafts are very hard. If you expect us to have even a passing record on this, you're wrong. Because, I mean, they're just hard. I mean, you don't know what's going through people's heads. And we're not, you know, we have no NFL experience and we've never been a general manager, so it's hard. But I really hope that the Dolphins can do something and get Joe Burrow.
Yeah,
I really wish
he would Eli Manning his way out of that situation, because Eli did that and got to the Giants. I really don't want him to be a Bengal so bad, but there's really nothing I feel like I can do, and I don't think the Bengals are going to trade out of that. If anyone – we're going to – It's hard to predict this. This will probably be the hardest thing we predict. We're doing a lot of predictions on this podcast just because we don't have any live sports. So we don't have anything to talk about, any headlines. But, yeah, I think we did pretty good on our predictions. And I hope to see you on again here soon, Boone.
Yeah, I don't know what you're planning for next time, but it's going to be another interesting one. And
yeah, I actually have an interesting idea for our next one that I'm going to have to figure out. Maybe a 4-person show in this next time, but Yeah. So check us out on Spotify, Apple, almost all podcast platforms, and like I said, YouTube now. So, and should expect a very, very cool podcast this next time, as I got a really cool idea. But thank you, and goodbye.